Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, July 30th, 2026, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics, page 55, the first paragraph, which starts, "Yet we have been seeing another kind of flight," ending with, "But we like to tell ourselves it wasn't true." Today's readers are Kara L., who will read the text, Vanessa G., a Vision for You, and Tony B. is our backup. Chanel T. is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, July 29th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 23,677. And for Thursday, July 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern, is 23,679. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Rhonda R. in Tennessee to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Susan. Welcome, everyone. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service in July. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. I will now ask Patty F. in Massachusetts to please read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. This is Patty in Massachusetts, a compulsive overeater. 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, and COA name ought never be drawn as public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity, the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you to both Rhonda and Patty for their service this month. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 55, and today we're reading and commenting on the first paragraph on that page, starting with, yet we have been seeing another kind of flight, ending with, but like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. I will now ask Kara L. to start reading and sharing with us. Good morning, Kara, and thank you.
Good morning, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive reader from Long Beach, California. Yet, we have been seeing another kind of light, a spiritual liberation from this world, people who rose above their problems. They said God made these things possible, and we only smiled. We had seen spiritual release. I like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. Good morning. My name is Kara, compulsive eater, recovered compulsive eater. And I love that, you know, there's a couple times in this book it says, you know, didn't we see the people who were spiritual and you know, I dismissed them or I'd like to say, you know, well, that won't work for me. And today, this is what I know. I know that I have absolutely no physical proof in front of me that my higher power exists. I do know that when I say, God, please just put in front of me today anything that you need me to do, and I step back from my fixed mindset of how I think things need to look, and I say, God, surprise me in this day. God, provide the small miracles throughout the day. I open myself to that grace. So whatever's coming along, you know, if I can get out of the idea that I think I know what should happen, and I just say, I am here and I trust, and please put in my day what you need me to take care of. I don't know how it works, but somehow I can breathe easier. And it goes for my food, it goes for interpersonal relationships, it goes for everything in my life. But I don't get to just do that, right? Because my natural response is, I know it's best. So I have to work these steps. I have to go on meetings, I have to be of service, I do my inventories, I do step 10 calls, I work with sponsees. All those things are just so I can say that one phrase of, God, just put in my day whatever you need me to do. And then I can be present with that. I'm very grateful today for that I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara. All right, so what we'll be just discussing, if you came in a few minutes late, please open your Big Books to page 55. Kara just gave us her thoughts on the first paragraph on that page, yet we have been seeing another kind of flight through to, but like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. So as a reminder, although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So what I need from you, please, are your first names, last initial, and where you are calling from today. So who would like to share this morning? Star one to unmute.
Trisha D, Georgia.
Tony B.
Was that Trisha D?
Yes, that was. Correct.
Thank you. And I'm who Georgia. Was after? Thank you.
Tony B.
Thank you, Tony.
Carrie W. from California.
Thank you,
now
Carrie.
Montana.
Thank you.
Janice K., Oregon.
Thank you, Janice. All right. So here's who I have for this first round while everyone else is contemplating. Trisha D., Tony B., Kerry W., and Janice K. So if everybody other than Trisha D. and Georgia could mute their line, Trisha, please come in and share with us. Thank you.
All right. Good morning, and thank you for your service today. My name is Trisha D., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Georgia, outside Atlanta. You know, this paragraph, when I read it, the words, we have seen another kind of flight of spiritual liberation from this world, people who rose above their problems. Wow, that just jumped out at me. I looked up the word liberation, spiritual liberation, and it said, liberation means deliverance, you know, setting free, release. Oh my gosh, have I certainly felt that in the 12 steps, and it's always striving to be spiritually fit. But then the paragraph goes on to say, they say God made these things possible. Absolutely. And we only smiled. I mean, the miracle, I see it every day. I can never take my absence for granted. It says we have seen a spiritual release, but like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. That jumped out at me also. You know, in this phrase here, compared to spiritual liberation and comparing to spiritual release. Release is a relief or deliverance from sorrow, suffering, or trouble, as I looked up in the Webster's Dictionary. And I see, and like myself, tell myself it wasn't true. And this is what this disease tells me in my mind, that, you know, you have a disease, I know I have this allergy of the body and the mental obsession and the spiritual malady, and yet how often my mind will go to say, you know, it's okay. You can have that other bite. You know, you can do this on your own. And yet that release is only, you know, I have those moments of sobriety and before I got recovery, and I've been in with a vision for you for over 6 years. And so, so grateful for my abstinence today. But yet, I still have to work my program like my hair is on fire and do those 10 steps like we shared previously. And, you know, stay in that design for living in steps 10, 11, 12. Or that spiritual release comes only in brief moments and I start doubting myself again. Oh, maybe I'm not a compulsive eater. Maybe I can get away with it this time. And it's all a lie. It's on life. And so I just love this spiritual liberation as that I totally know that my power comes from God and nobody else, and it's not from me. And, you know, I love the expression, you know, trust God, clean house, and help others, because only by helping others in this program, I sponsor other people, and I just know that that's what helps me stay sober, because I have to hear that message every day. Anyway, thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Trisha D. in Georgia. Next, we have Tony B. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Scotland, though currently in Romania. I love this paragraph. We've been seeing another kind of flight. It's this, with our own eyes, you know, and it reminds me of Bill's story, page 11. began to look as though religious people were right. Here was something at work in the human heart which had done the impossible. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Never mind the musty past, here sat a miracle directly across the kitchen table. He shouted great tidings. It's a reality, we're seeing it in one another. I saw it when I came into a vision for you in particular. And it's a demonstration. It's something that we can't deny. It was there in front of my eyes. And it says a spiritual liberation from this world. So I'm liberated from the world of compulsive overeating, that world which was, where I was doing what I thought I had to do to stay well, very much, third dimension stuff, just trying my best to survive, really, with my own kind of ideas, with my worldly idea of what might help me, putting food in my mouth to block out my emotions and things that had gone on for me, and just, I suppose, not getting my way very often. And liberation from that, this prison of the world, and ability to rise above my problems, particularly, yes, the problem of compulsive overeating, but then, other problems, relationship problems, just problems of, like I said, wanting to control things, get things my way. And gradually, those begin to untangle as well, more slowly and still in process for sure. So this is really encouraging people who thought that, who only smile at that, who see these things but then think no, and like Bill in Bill's story, he sees it, and yet he still has these vestiges of doubt. There can't be a czar of the heavens, and it takes him time, but he doesn't have to believe in a czar of the heavens. Okay, I'll leave it there. Thanks so much for letting me share. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony, so much. Next, we have Kerry W., who's now in Montana, but you can find her on the phone list under California. Go ahead, Kerry.
Good morning, Kerry W. Thank you so much for your service, Susan. Compulsive overeater from California, but now in Montana. Sorry about the noise. I'm outside, but I wanted to share on this because I was just talking to my husband about this. He has a sponsee that says he can't do the program because he doesn't believe in God. And I was just like, that has really nothing to do with this program. We get to have whatever we want, and whether you call it Buddha or God or Moon Unit or I have a sponsee has a tree goddess. I mean, you get to call it whatever you want. Father of Lights in the book. And I think I have a feeling that it's all trying to explain the same thing, the unexplainable. That unexplainable force that's out in the universe. And I know it's there. I don't have to know exactly what it is. It's probably not definable in human terms. For me, that's what I believe, and we all get to have our own beliefs, and that's the beautiful part of the program for me, that I've been rocketed into a different spiritual dimension, and I don't have to explain it, but I know that my life has gotten so much better. I know that nothing else has worked to help me to stay abstinent and sober. I'm in other programs too. And I know this program works if I do everything that is suggested. And I don't have to really explain it to myself. I just do it because the results have been amazing. My life was such a horrible mess before when I was in charge, and now something else is in charge, and it's gotten so much better. I'm going to keep on doing it. So it's really good to be here today, and you know, I wouldn't let that block anyone from doing this program. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Carrie W. Next, we are going to Oregon. Good morning, Janice K.
Good morning. This is Janice K. in Oregon. Oh, I love the whole paragraph. We have seen another kind of flight, a spiritual liberation from the world, people who love their problems. Oh, yes. Just look around. Whether it's a big problem or a little problem, a weight problem, a reality-based problem, this program will get results. They said they made these things possible, and we smiled. Well, maybe in my very young, stupid, cynical state. Now, when they say that and I smile, it's a smile of agreement. Yeah. Just as an airplane is powered by engines and Bernoulli's law and various things that I don't understand, I know that spiritual actions give spiritual results. You may believe in God or you may not, but spiritual actions have spiritual results. That's why Buddhism works. At least my sad little misunderstanding. And apologies to Buddhists if I'm wrong. But seeing spiritual release. I mean, when you can walk in the sun again, why would you possibly not see the things that open the clouds for you? We have seen spiritual release, and it is true. So that's kind of what I had to share. Spiritual actions will give you spiritual results, no matter what you believe. So, thank you for listening, and I pass.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Janice. All right. So, before we take our next lineup of wonderful shares, page 55, first paragraph, that is what we are speaking about this morning, yet we've been seeing another kind of flight, ending with, but like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. And as a wee reminder, we share here every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So let's go, people. Star one, and who would like to share this morning?
Regina from Idaho.
Okay, somebody from Idaho. Who was that first, please?
Melanie C.
Melanie, thank you. All right. Who else came in with Melanie?
Regina V. from California.
Thank you, Regina. So much good stuff in these few lines. I know you're
Mary Frances. Southview in Pennsylvania.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Who else would like to share today? All right. Well, so we don't waste precious sharing time. I have Melanie C., Regina V., and Mary Frances W., so if everybody other than Melanie could mute their line. Melanie, over to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good morning to you again, and good morning, everyone, and those that are beyond. Good afternoon and good evening. My name is Melanie C., and I live in Idaho, a recovered compulsive overeater, grateful for that. The paragraph here reaches something I know very personally and very intimately, the quote, we had seen spiritual release, but like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. And looking back for me, I don't think that I was lying to myself. I literally couldn't believe it. Addiction had built an entire system of thinking that filtered through reality, fear, self-protection, and experience for me. If I had never truly possessed freedom, I had no framework to recognize it, to take it in, to believe it in any way, shape, or form that it could become my own. I've come to see that I cannot genuinely live, give away, or receive something I don't inwardly possess. And that isn't stubbornness at all. It's the architect of my addiction. My mind measured everything against my past. Every failure reinforced the conclusion that change was temporary. Freedom belonged to other people, and my role was simply to manage my disease the best that I could. And that's what was reinforced over and over and over again. I couldn't see that it wasn't working. The miracle wasn't that I suddenly became convinced. The miracle was that God began dismantling layer after layer of that false belief system. The more I worked the steps, the more I plugged into you and was circled around with love in the middle of this herd here. God didn't just remove an obsession with food. God began exposing the assumptions underneath it, the fear, the hypervigilance, the self-reliance, that shame that was there, and the conviction that I was fundamentally different from those who seemed to have found peace, and I wasn't. As those layers were uncovered, I found that belief isn't something I manufactured. It grows as I experience God's faithfulness over and over. Each act of surrender gave me a lived experience that replaces the old lie that was in my head. Eventually, I no longer had to borrow someone else's hope because it was becoming my own. And then this day, this paragraph reminds me that spiritual liberation isn't just freedom from addiction behavior. It's freedom from the entire internal structure that once made such freedom seem impossible. My higher power isn't merely changing what I do. He is patiently changing what I know to be true at the deepest level of my being. And as that truth becomes mine, I can finally receive it, live it, and then offer it to somebody else. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie C. in Idaho. Next, we have Regina V. in California. Good morning, Regina.
Hi, good morning. My name is Regina V. I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. This page is so incredibly perfect because my three kids are atheists. They don't believe in God, okay? They don't believe in anything. And yesterday, I literally sent a page to my three kids, and I guess that was my higher power. I sent a page to them on this topic. Yes, on this exact topic. And my son, the atheist, texted back and said, "Thank you, so powerful." And so basically it said, "This higher power might be likened to the electricity that operates the lights and machinery of our recovery. It's not necessary to understand what electricity actually is to enjoy its use. All we need to do is turn on the switch." Well, we can't see electricity, right? But we have faith that it exists. Well, we can't see God. But, you know, one of the things I heard yesterday in OA, you know, bean pod or whatever, was that the reason why we do the steps is so that we can cultivate a relationship with our higher power. And, you know, we might not believe in God, but if we believe in electricity and we work the 12 steps, that is to get us closer to that power that is outside ourselves. And so I just thought that was incredible that I sent that message to my son, the atheist, who said, "Thanks, that was very powerful." And why did I send it? Because being in this program of OA has taught me that, you know, if I want liberation from anything, all my addictions, all my, you know, fears and resentments and everything that I have inside of me, the only way I'm going to get peace and freedom is to believe in something that is not me. And I don't want my three kids to grow up not having, you know, that relief or that liberation. I understand how important it is to believe in something that is not you, because I lived it. I was an atheist for so many years, more than 20 years. And as I continue in this program, the reason why I have belief is because of you, because of the people that are in this program that, you know, I see there. Thank you so much. And I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Regina. Thank you. Next, we have Mary Frances W. in Pennsylvania. Good morning.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for the shares this morning. Very, very rich and touching my heart. What I wanted to share has been shared in different ways, but I'll go right ahead anyway. The spiritual liberation for me, freedom through admitting my powerlessness, letting go of self-control, and relying on a higher power, none of which I'm perfect at, which is why I come here every day, which is why I have a sponsor, and I am a sponsor, and I work the steps, and because I am this failed and flawed human being. And you know what? Once I was able to accept that, it was like a whole world opened up for me. I didn't have to be perfect anymore because there was no way that I could be. Rising above, I'm no longer trapped by the heavy burdens and struggles of daily life. What a miracle. And yes, again, I'm not perfect at this. Sometimes some days are more difficult than others. I spent several hours yesterday with a very, very, very dear friend who has advanced Alzheimer's, and it's the first time I've seen her that she wasn't able to say my name. And it was very painful, but on the reverse of that, the ability to be able to be there for her and her husband at this time of need, and you know, being able to be a witness for them. And also what I wanted to say was, and someone did mention this, letting go of and challenging my old beliefs. They've gotten me into so much trouble. And the first time I heard the set aside prayer, it was like, oh gosh, yes, I can set this stuff aside and I can be open to something new, a new experience. These old beliefs tell me lies about myself, my life, my God, everything. And being able to challenge them, which as a child and even a young adult, I never realized it was okay to do that, gives me the ability to be open, be open-minded, and be open to new beliefs and new experiences with God in my life, because I am experiencing God, for which I'm very grateful. With that, I pass, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Mary Frances W. in Pennsylvania. All right, we still have time, my friends. Who would like to share this morning? Star 1 to unmute. First paragraph on page 55. Everyone's so quiet this morning.
Rachel B., California.
Thank you, Rachel. I know it isn't just me and Rachel here.
Kelly B., Los Angeles, California.
Kelly B., and then somebody else in Los Angeles.
Dorothy.
Dorothy. And then who was after Dorothy?
Jody E.
Jody, thank you. Good morning.
Jennifer P., if there's time.
Janice R. P. Okay.
No, Jennifer. Right. Jennifer.
Jennifer, I'm sorry. Jennifer, hi. Sorry.
Hi. Okay.
Oh, my
okay.
gosh. All right. So you'll all say where you're calling from. I have Rachel B., Kelly B., Dorothy, Jody E., and Jennifer P. So, Rachel, take it away. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hi, everybody, and thanks, everybody, for your service. This is Rachel from California. And I just... I love this paragraph. It's so short, but that image of being released reminds me of another phrase in our program, to be relieved of the bondage of self. That's like one of my favorite phrases in the whole program. And because when I'm in my dis-ease, I'm just tight. I'm wound up tight. I can't let anybody in. I can't let light in. And I literally, no pun intended, feel so heavy. and I just am removed from everybody. And so when I think of this release, it's like a paradox. I actually join the human race when I'm released from my problems. I don't float above everybody and feel better than everybody. As a matter of fact, when I'm released and I got abstinent December 14th of last year, and I really feel like a lot of food neutrality. Like, how did that happen? All of a sudden, really, I don't care about food like I did, and yet I enjoy it more. I mean, it's just the paradox of it. And I want to just share also that I'm an atheist. I came in, been one all my life, and I've always thought of God as good, orderly direction. I've been involved with other programs most of my adult life, and I'm so glad that whoever that was that allowed us the God of our understanding made sure that that was in the program, because if the spiritual hoop wasn't wide enough for me to fit in, I wouldn't have had this program my whole life. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful that when I first came in, someone said, you know, think of God as good orderly direction, because it's really changed my actions in life. And so when I am abstinent, when I can have this spiritual experience, it has made me since December 14th kinder to people, more open, more empathetic, and just a better person. So, because I'm not so kind of angry in my dis-ease, and I'm just really listening to the messages of everybody. So I just want to make sure that that people who might be new on this call know that the spiritual hoop is quite wide, very wide, and you fit here too. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. And as a reminder to everybody, please keep your line muted if you aren't sharing, so we don't have any background noise. Next, we have Kelly B. And Kelly, if you could share with everyone where you're calling from this morning.
Hi, this is Kelly B. from New York. Thank you, Susan, for moderating. Thank you, everyone, for this meeting. I had a great experience this morning. I was making breakfast for a family member, and it's food that is poison to me. And I have been abstinent from this food for quite some time. And I was holding it and preparing it, and I had no desire to eat it. And I thought, wow, I'm so grateful for this neutrality. And reading this paragraph, I realized what a beautiful relief that is for me. And I know, contingent on my fit spirituality and daily reprieve, absolutely, I have to do the work. And I am so grateful for that release. And yet, I continue to have agnosticism in other areas of my life, that spiritually and mentally and emotionally, I really do need release from. Specifically, I've been really struggling with my job and some emotions lately, and so grateful today for the reminder that for years I thought I would never get relief from my eating disorder, and yet I just put my head down and I do what this book tells me to do, and I have relief. So grateful, and I get to have even more relief. What a beautiful promise, right? A spiritual release is a promise that I get from my connection to God. And that's what I've got to share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kelly B. from New York. Next, we have Dorothy. And if you could please share where you're calling from in your last initial, as I didn't get it. Thank you so much. Dorothy, star one to unmute. Did I get the name right?
You did. I'm sorry. This is Dorothy B. Dorothy B. from Los Angeles, California.
And thank you so much for having this meeting this morning and every morning. This is my first time, second meeting with all of you. The first meeting was while I was taking my mom through her dying process, and I have finally come up and out on the other side as she has passed. And I just wanted to acknowledge that there were so many of you who reached out, and I will start calling people back. I'm just making my way back, you know, after several weeks out of not being at meetings. And despite not being at meetings, this paragraph is and was important to me, you know, just by being able to, you know, speak to a God, my God, which is quite unusual most days. And, you know, I can do my prayers morning and night. And as my mom did not believe in a higher power, she was okay with me just talking about the universe. And we would hold hands and cuddle together, you know, in her bed, you know, over the last few weeks and months, and just talk about nature and trees and all of that. And to me and to her, mostly, that meant that she had some sort of relief, you know. And so I'll keep this short. I just wanted to allow myself to say some things and be heard. And I thank you so much for listening. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy B. in Los Angeles, California. We're so glad you're back with us. Next, we have Jody E. in California. Good morning, Jody.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic in California. What a beautiful promise this is, to have a spiritual liberation from this world, to rise above our problems. You know, I don't have that many problems today, honestly, which is remarkable, because when I was first coming to OA, I had so many problems. I was considering ending my life. But today, I don't really have problems of my own, but I do see problems in the world, certainly, many. But I am able to rise above them, to be liberated from the problems of the world today, to a great extent. I won't say 100%, but to a great extent, I can detach from the world and its problems. Not completely. If I detached completely, I wouldn't be a good citizen of the world. But through prayer and meditation, through these 12 steps, I am able to detach with love from people, from politics, from religious differences, all of it, from the environmental problems that we face. And I trust God. I trust God, that God is in charge, which gives me a huge relief. As I said, it doesn't mean I don't have responsibility. I do. I try to be the change that I want to see in the world. And that's about all I can do, one moment at a time, with God's help and with your help. So thank you for being here. I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. in California. Next, we're going to New Jersey. Good morning to Jennifer P.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you so much. Thank you for all of the previous hearers. I love this chapter. I'm grateful, Jen P., Jennifer P., sorry, from New Jersey. Grateful, abstinent, compulsive overeater by the grace of God today. Page 55 reminds me of the previous couple of chapters earlier when it said, yes, we've seen another kind of flight, a spiritual liberation, referring to the flight couple pages back where it talks about the Wright brothers and their childish faith that they could build this machine which would fly. And so, you know, there's that kind of faith. But then here they're talking about, you know, and they said without that childish faith, it couldn't have happened. But we agnostics and atheists were sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems. And then now on 55, it talks about spiritual, another kind of flight, a spiritual liberation in, from this world. And my sponsor, you know, told me this is like the what, where, when, and how page. And we see this with people who rose above their problems. And I just want to focus on that, you know, somebody shared earlier about that the man sitting across from the kitchen table, you know, speaking and seeing his eyes full of joy and speaking, the fact that this is a miracle sitting before his eyes. And for me, you know, the miracle shows up every day when I choose to get in the center of the herd, as my sponsor would say. On the 300 people that come to the meeting on Saturdays that I attend, and, you know, from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern, that's a big chunk of a Saturday morning, or the morning meetings that I go to. But it's because these people rose above their problems, and I want to rise above my problems, because life, as someone just said earlier, you know, whatever it is, how do I detach? How do I find the spiritual liberation? There will be grief and loss and sadness. And, you know, I had one of those moments last night where this really difficult parenting and feeling like, where are you, God? Where are you, God? Do you see what I'm going through? And yet this morning, you know, I say, okay, you know, my lovely sponsor says, this is where we are. This is the meeting. The fellows that I have, I talk to, and they say, you know, God makes these things possible. And so today I don't want to just smile at it. I want to actually say, yes, this works for me too. Going on 30 years next July in this program, and I have seen miracles. And my sponsor said, it's the freedom to walk, the freedom to walk. And so today I have the freedom to face my fears and to detach with love and to get in the center of the herd and say today that my problem is not solved by food. My problem is solved by a spiritual solution of faith and a presence that I can't see, but I believe a relationship with God. And with all of you, you show me that. Thank you so much. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you. We probably have 45 seconds. If someone has a burning desire, I'm happy to give it to you. Okay. We're going to
Nancy LJ.
Is, go ahead. Go ahead, Nancy. Go.
Good morning. Just wanted to say I claim my seat. I'm grateful to be recovered and love the shares I heard. I've been on long. And yeah, that's it. Love this big book, love this program, and thank you for moderating, and I will pass.
Thank you. And talking of moderating, let's thank Team July. We've had Cara, we've had Vanessa, we've had Tony, Chanel, and Leslie. Stay on with them at the end for sponsors, available sponsors, just to get phone calls. And thank you to Rhonda and Patty as well for reading the steps and traditions. All right, so here we are. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Vanessa G. in New Mexico, will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
I will. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. Our book is meant to be, I'm a compulsive overeater, excuse me. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you read, trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.